risen for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He said, be free. Yes, He said, be free. Yes, He said, be free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, He said. Tonight, church, aren't you glad you've been set free? Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Let's look at our prayer request while you remain standing. If you don't care, Brother Tracy wants us to remember Randy Fields, who has a tumor on his brain, can hardly walk. The tumor has increased in size, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Jan Hall wants us to remember her daughter, Michelle. She got a tumor in her body. Because she has to go to a free clinic, they can't operate on her until June. Please pray that the operation can take place before that. Please pray for my lifelong friend, Carol Jean, just recently diagnosed with colon cancer. So we certainly want to remember those needs tonight. Brother Andrew Butt sends this in. I would like for you to pray for my 16-year-old son, Andrew. He had an MRI test done on his head this week. It showed he has a tumor, which they may have to operate on. Please pray that God will be in control of this situation. We know that He is more than able to take care of this. Thank you, and may God bless. So we certainly want to remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Don Forum sends this in. Please add my son Aaron to your prayer list tonight. I've been praying that God will give him his own born-again experience, and so that he can be in the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we will remember that need tonight as we pray. Brother Baker wants to thank the Lord for His healing touch and for being able to be back in the service tonight. Also wants to thank God for healing his hand. He was totally healed of that, and he wants to praise the Lord for that tonight. Brother Jose Manley sends this in. Thank you for all your prayers concerning our job situations. I was offered the same position, and Sister Elizabeth has accepted a supervisor position. We still ask for prayers for the transition of the entire hotel. It will be a challenging one. Over 100 staff members were not offered their positions. My department was hit hard and lost 8 members, including the manager. We also ask that you pray for those that have lost their positions as well, and that the Lord will lead them to positions that they may provide for their families. We thank God for the blessings that He has bestowed upon us, and looking forward to the guidance with the responsibility that He has given us. We thank you and love you all, Brother Jose and Sister Elizabeth Manley. So thank the Lord that they were able to keep their jobs. May God bless those folks that made up the workforce there at that hotel. Joshua White sends this in to please remember the Behrman family. The Lord knows all about that need tonight. We're just committed under the Lord. Brad Gilbert in the hospital. They're running some tests on him, so we want to remember Brad in prayer as we pray tonight that the Lord would be merciful unto him. Linda Kennedy needs healing in her back, so let's pray for that need tonight. Sister Janet Kennedy sends this in. We requested prayer for a friend of ours who was in a car wreck and broke his neck last week. The doctors thought they would have to go through the front and the back of the neck, but before the surgery, his neck seemed to be to line up, and they only had to go through the front to fix a crack in a vertebrae. He is home now and up and around. So they want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Thank the Lord. Sister Janet Kennedy says, our cousin Leanne is in the Johnson City Medical Center expecting a baby, but it is too early. The doctors are doing what they can to prevent the delivery. She requests prayer for her and the baby. So let's remember those needs tonight. Brother Barclay, a very good business friend of his,
was having what he thought ear problems in his hearing. They thought it was vertigo at first, but now they're checking other symptoms. Don't really know what's wrong, so they're asking that we would pray for that need tonight. Sister Sherry Tipton says, just want to thank everyone for all the calls, visits, and prayers during my recent illness. I am doing much better now, and she wants to praise the Lord for that. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our needs, don't we? We believe that. We're committed to that tonight, aren't we? Are you committed to that, that you know a God that's bigger than all your problems? Give Him a nice hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Let's sing a little chorus before we pray, Let It Rain. Just before we pray tonight, Brother David, if you'd get ready to lead us to the Lord tonight on these behalf of these prayer requests. Let's just sing this little chorus tonight. Let it rain. May the Holy Spirit rain on us tonight. How many of you need a real good touch from the Lord tonight? Whether it be spiritually, financially, physically, whatever it is, God has got an answer for you tonight. Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, we need you tonight. We need a touch from you. Open the floodgates. Let it rain, let it rain, oh, let it rain, Lord, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, Lord, let it rain. Yes, open the floodgates of heaven.
Jesus, Lord, our souls are thirsty tonight. Lord, we ask that you would just open the floodgates of our hearts tonight. Lord, and may you just pour down the blessings upon the congregation, Lord. You see every need in the building, Lord. You are mindful of every one of them. Father, you hear every prayer as they go up at the same time. Lord, you see the request that's been turned in this evening. We believe that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, there is no need too great. There is no need too small. You are mindful of each one. We ask, Father, may you open the floodgates of healing. Hallelujah. May you open the floodgates of deliverance. Lord, may you pour it out upon your children, Lord. We ask, Father, that you would move upon each one, believing, Lord, that the Bible says that the prayer of faith, Lord, shall save the sick. We ask, Father, that you move upon each one of them tonight, Father. We claim victory. We claim healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you see our brother Daryl, Lord, suffering in his back. Lord, an evangelist, oh God, that Lord moves on the field, and you've used this ministry in great ways. I curse the enemy that would keep him from the field. I curse the enemy that come against his back, Lord, and keep him down. I pray, may the Holy Spirit, amen, may you move upon our brother, Father. May you touch him tonight. I pray, may the Holy Spirit, I ask tonight, in the name of Jesus, we curse that sickness. Hallelujah. We curse that tonight, Father. We pray, may the Holy Spirit, may you lift him up, Father. May you bring him back to the house of God. May you set him, Lord. May you just build the flame in his heart, oh God, knowing that the enemy's in trouble. Father, as a body of believers tonight, we pray together. We claim it, Father. Lord, those that are sick, we claim healing. Those that has cancer, we curse it tonight. In the name of Jesus, may the Holy Holy Spirit, I pray, touch each one. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Oh, sweet Jesus, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Oh, let it rain.
In my soul.
Hallelujah. Give Jesus one more big hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. And we do have some visitors. We're going to take a second to recognize those folks. Especially glad to have tonight Brother Ben Norod and his wife and family here tonight. Going to be singing for us. Brother Ben, God bless you. We're so glad to have you all with us here tonight in the service. Also, we have Sister Billy Hunter and her daughter-in-law, Sister Norma Hunter from Muncie, Indiana. Where would you folks be? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Give those folks a nice hand tonight. Also, we have Sister Eileen Meyer from Kenton, Kentucky. Where would you be? Raise your hand. Give her a nice hand tonight. Give all of our visitors a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Amen. Glad to have you. Anybody else that's visiting, I didn't get your name. We're certainly glad to have you here. Home folks, we're glad to have you here tonight also. I believe the Lord's going to bless us with a wonderful time here tonight. Let's sing the song, I Believe He's Coming Back, just like He said. And I believe it's getting closer by the second, don't you? Amen. Amen. Let's sing it tonight, if you will.
High upon a mountain, from where He ascended, the angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, don't you stand here grieving.
That's right.
For this one that you see leaving, in like manner's coming back.
I want you to sing
like
in that church.
He said,
resurrect your dead. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. Now, the songs that we had scheduled tonight, we're going to put them on the burner, the back burner. Brother Ben, God bless you. We want you and your wife, ever how you have your songs arranged tonight, you can be seated. Brother Ben, we're so glad to have you folks with us tonight. We love this brother, don't we? God bless you, buddy. Amen. Certainly appreciate him. Let's enjoy him tonight.
Taking a little time off, get some rest. They said, where do you want to go? I said, anywhere that'll get me close to Happy Valley. Last time we was here, I sang a song. I thought, now I'm going to sing something, Sam and I, that ain't nobody ever heard before. After we got done, Brother Lenuel said, thanks for singing my song. That next morning, I thought, now this one will get him sure as the world. And then Brother Louis sang it that following Wednesday. So I've come to a conclusion, whether y'all know it or not, we're just going to loosen up and have a good time in the Lord tonight. How many believes Jesus is all you need tonight? All right, I'm singing.
He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. Each time I call him, all my needs, he supplies my thirsty soul. He satisfies, he's the Lord of Lords, he's all I need.
I mean, just raise your hand and say, praise the Lord.
He comforts me when I'm weary. Says every pain fills my deepest longings. Time and time again, he's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's all.
Is all I need. I dare not turn to any other, for he's a friend that's closer than a brother. I'm again say amen. And on this friend I can rely to be my strength. As life goes by, he's the Lord of all, and he's all I need.
He comforts me when I'm weary.
Eases
every pain.
Time and time again,
he's my soul's
yep.
inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything. He's
all I need. I wonder if you'd help us just sing now. He's all. Come on, sing it out.
He's all I need.
Jesus is all I need. Let the bride sing. He's all. You believe that? Raise your hand, sing this chorus then. He answers prayer. Do you believe it?
He answers prayer.
Yes, he
does. Jesus,
he's all I need. Oh, yes, he answers prayer. All I need. He's my everything. He's all I need. Jesus is all I Jesus. I'm so glad he is, aren't you? How many is thankful he's still in the fire tonight?
My mama read a story from the Bible long ago about Shadrach, Meshach, and old Abednego. How a wicked king commanded they be thrown into the flame because they would not bow and then deny their father's name. Now a wicked king stood high upon a balcony so tall. When he looked in, he was shocked by all the things he saw. He thought that he would find them lying dead upon the ground. Instead of three, he counted four of walking all around.
I said, Mama, wait a minute. There's one thing that I must know.
If three went in and
three came out, then where'd that fourth man go?
I never will forget it. Mama danced across the floor. These are the words I heard her say while shouting through the door.
She said, he's still in the fire and he's walking in the flame.
And he'll be there to help you when you call on his name.
And he can still deliver by his almighty power. While here below, it's good to know he's still in the fire. I mean, say amen.
Now, my friend, you may be destined to face life's hottest flame. I'm glad that I can tell you through the power of his name. Not one flame of fire will touch you. You'll come through it and you'll tell yesterday,
today, forever. God is still alive.
Yes.
Well, he's still in the fire and he's walking in the flame.
there to help you when you call upon His name. And He can still deliver by His almighty power. While here below, it's good to know He's still in the fire. I said He's still in the fire and He's walking in the flame. And He'll be there to help you when you call upon His name. And He can still deliver by His almighty power. While here below, it's good to know He's still in the fire. I said while here below, it's good to know He's still in the fire. I said He's still in the fire. Well, He's still in the fire at His walk. Come on, let's worship Him.
And
He'll be there to help you when you call on His name.
And He can still deliver by His
almighty power. While here below, it's good to know He's still in the fire. I said while here below, it's good to know He's still in the fire. He's still in the fire.
Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Brother Ben and Sister Nora. I sure appreciate them coming by and visiting with us tonight. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 5, if you would. Revelation chapter 5. We'd like to read verse 5 through verses 10. And I'd like to speak to you again tonight on the rapture, claiming His rights. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now can you imagine that when a child of God prays, really prays genuinely in faith in the right channel of God, that it's actually like odors in God's presence. And ain't no wonder the devil tries to keep us from praying. Vials, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, for your great word. We are so grateful, Lord Jesus, that you have opened our eyes to this day, to this time, to the truth of the gospel that is being sent forth from your very heart in this hour. We are grateful, Lord, because we know the only way we can be illuminated in the change is to be a part of what you are currently doing. So our soul, our spirit, everything about us, our body, must be synchronized with what you are thinking. So even if Satan can get around us and just put us out of sync 5 years, if we're just 5 years back, it shows that we're out of time. We want to be exactly on time, Lord. The brothers here at the church have just made the website available, Lord, where folks can take their phone and be able to watch the service. And I just tried it a few minutes ago on my phone, and I found it very amazing. Because as Brother Ben and his wife was singing, actually what I was hearing over the speaker in the study was him singing his verse. But actually what was on the website was when she was singing and he was singing together the chorus. Because by the time we send the signal and it goes out and then comes back around again, there's a delay. So if the people would have been sitting there holding their phone and looking with their eyes, it would have been two different time frames. And Lord, that's the way it is with the Word. We don't want to be out of date. 5 years, 5 months, oh God. We want to be synchronized, Lord, with exactly where you are, Father. Take your word tonight and speak to us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. You believe it's important that we're on time, that we're synchronized with what God is saying and what God has on his heart. I find that amazing. And several years ago, I was down with Brother Jason Watkins, and at that time, they were using an internet provider that was over in Italy. So they would send their signal from the service there, and then it would actually come back. And I had finished preaching, and at that time, for whatever reason, they had a little room right by the office. So the office was right here, and so that room was right there. And whenever I walked off the platform, went into the office there to change my clothes, even though I was in there changing my clothes and drying off and all of that, yet on the internet, I was still preaching. And I thought, this is very strange. It didn't seem right somehow. I mean, am I there or am I here? You know. So you realize that with God, we must be so in time with what he's doing. And we know because we are living in a very dimensional-minded and age for people to live in, that it would be so close to be so close and synchronized, you think, to what God is doing. And all you have to be is just a few seconds out, and then you miss the whole thing. But I believe that God certainly wants his people to be a part of what he is doing and what he's thinking, don't you? We certainly desire, you know, as long as I've been preaching and started preaching when I was just a boy, and of course I've learned, and I still, as I preach more and more, I realize how little that I do know about it anyway. But as I go on, I realize one of the most important things that God taught me, even whenever I was a Pentecostal preacher, was to follow the leading of the Lord, even for what I knew back yonder. Whether it made sense to me, whether I understood it or not, it really had no relevance, but just to be able to follow the Spirit of God. And as we go on, I'm sure that each of us are, hopefully, we are coming to a greater realization of that, that we must be in tune with what God has for our hearts and what God has even for our lives, that we can be a part of that. You know, I'm convinced as we go along that Satan, looking into the Word, and apparently he knows there's an element of things that he can and cannot do. He truly knows his boundaries. He knows how far he can go. He knows how far that he can move with a person who knows their rights, and he knows that he can go a little bit farther and infringe upon those that do not know their rights simply upon the basis of their ignorance. And God has given him a boundary and lets him do so far and move so far, but he actually knows he's got a little bit more leeway on those who do not know their rights and their position simply because of their ignorance or their negligence. And you know that apparently him looking at God's Word and knowing what the Word says about him, the Word has done pronounced his end, the Word has done says he'll be annihilated, the Word has done said he'll be destroyed, but apparently he knows that in the will of God, even though there's so much of it that is set in concrete, as we would say, but yet there's so much about the will of God that has an element of fluctuation by which Satan is able to get in there and cause even the elect trouble. Now, inevitably, Abraham was a son of God, called of God to do the program of God. But Satan found by just bumping that out a little bit and convincing Sarah that she was not part of the program, that once they get down the land of Egypt, then they pick up a beautiful Egyptian maid. And by doing that, it caused all kinds of trouble. By doing, Brother Branham, exactly the same way when God called him to go out when he was a younger man, and him listening to his mother-in-law instead of listening to God, Satan saw him. He could never stop Brother Branham from being Malachi 4. Absolutely not. He was that because no one else could take that place. But by bumping him out of the timeline of God, the program of God, he was able to cause an issue there. And he realized for each of us, he can do exactly the same thing. That we might study. I've got files right now that I have had accumulated for several years. I've got things that I've studied on. And Brother Darrell and I was out at the Indian Reservation a few months back. Brother Darrell preached the first service. And I tell you what, that brother, he just done an outstanding job. It was just such a tremendous thought. I was so caught up in that service. Well, the next day I was supposed to preach, but I couldn't study on what I was going to preach. All I could study is what he'd preached the night before. And I thought, this don't even make no sense. But I got so much inspiration from what he had, you know, what he had brought that night, page after page. It's like it exploded on me. Surely the Lord will let me preach it somewhere to somebody, if nothing else, to my wife. But you realize that God will do that, and God will synchronize the channel when you're in that channel. And the receiving channel may be years apart from the sending channel. And you know, God is so in line. So we realize then, and as God is sending forth the mercy seat, Christ from the mercy seat, that we must be exactly in tune with what God is. And can't you see why that for many people in the message who believe the days of mercy is over, and they do not believe that there is a literal lamb on the throne of God. Can you imagine how out of sync they are with God's program? Can you imagine for those who believe a return ministry and they're expecting for Brother Branham to come back and Brother Branham to have a personal resurrection, and then there'll be the first resurrection and all that, however they've got that all figured out. Can you imagine out of sync they will be when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout? Not Brother Branham at all, but Jesus Christ himself. And you know, friend, that it doesn't take, you know, a great big old thing to make you out of that sink with God. When you look at how far out of sync that Eve was, she wasn't that far out. Brother Ben said she had faith in God. She was not an infidel. She believed in God. But what he confused her was on the promise of the current day. Now, he never goes over and grabs the message of Noah. He doesn't go way back in the beginning and say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said, let there be light. He never used that, but he used a part of the word that was given to them in the Garden of Eden, and he got Eve confused. Now, his son, he didn't really know where she was, how she was, until he listened to her response, and her response sent him a very confusing answer on her part. So he knew right then this was the channel, because instead of saying word for word back what the Lord God had said, because now God was dealing with them under the dispensation of Lord God. He was God, Genesis 1, Genesis 2. But when he goes to dealing with man, he changes himself and he deals with them under the auspices of Lord God. But when Satan comes to her, he says, yea, hath God said. Now, trying to pull her out of synchronization to where the present truth actually was. He was not dealing with them under the auspices of God, but he was dealing with them under the auspices, the compound name, which was Lord God. And he says, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree. And then she turns right around and says, well, God has said. Now, what's she done? She's in a day gone by. She's out of sync of Father's dispensation. So if we're making him the judge already, and we're making him pass mercy already, we're out of sync. When the woman said, oh, son of David, son of David, she was out of sync. Come on, she was out of sync. She was a Gentile. So we must be right in tune, and we realize only the elect can really be able to do that, because they're the only ones that are built with a special spiritual radio frequency by which they can pick up, and it will not be on a 5-year delay. They're not set on a 4-year delay. You see, by the time the carnal folks get it, by the time it's tangible and it's material, by the time they got it in the days of Noah
and they saw the message was tar and wood and nails and all that, it was too late. It was done too late. Noah caught it while it was invisible. Noah did not catch it whenever God had a pile of tubifores there from the local hardware store and a hammer and a bunch of nails, and God had 5-gallon buckets of pitch sitting there. But Noah caught it when it was invisible. He had no tangible evidence. He had no material by which he could prove it. Oh, glory. But by the time the rest of them saw it, once it was visible and tangible, it was too late. Let me tell you something, friend. The bride of Jesus Christ around the world, it will absolutely be amazing when you consider many of our brothers and sisters around the world and many of the ministers around the world, many of the ministers in the third world countries still to this day do not have computers. They do not have the availability to be able to study the message and get it together. How in the world will they all be together? I don't know. That's up to God. But God knows exactly how to do it, don't he? Oh, yes, he does. He knows exactly how to bring everybody up to par. And the thing we want to do is to be so in tune with the Spirit of God that when God thinks that rapture morning, this is the day of the change, that it won't take you and I a week to catch up. But when he thinks it from the throne of God, there will be something that will so correspond in the bride that it will be instantaneous. Glory to God. He won't be on the, you know, in the middle of the air up there as the lion King, and we're still at the altar praying for the Holy Ghost. Oh no. He won't be in the middle of the air as a Lion King, and we're trying to lead somebody to Jesus. I believe we'll be so synchronized with the Spirit of God, it will be a reaction all over the earth. Only God supernaturally can time and be able to fulfill such a great task. Oh my. Hallelujah. Now here we are in this stage of the final phase of the Lamb being the Redeemer, calling those names from the book of Lot. How many is the Lamb? Of course, we have no idea. We don't know. But notice this in the breach. Brother Ben said, Christ has redeemed us now. We are now redeemed, but he has not yet claimed his possession yet. Now, you might differ with that, but just hold on it a minute, see. Now, listen. Notice the separation between the stage of redemption and the stage of claiming. He's now in this cycle. Notice again, he says he hasn't claimed it yet. If he took the book of redemption, everything that Adam had, everything that he lost, Christ redeems back. He's already redeemed us, but he hasn't took the possession yet. He cannot until the time appointed. Now remember, even Jesus does not know when that will be. Come on, don't sit there and look at me like you ain't heard that before. That's what Brother Ram said. He said Jesus didn't even know it. He said that lay in God alone. Yeah. Oh my. Notice he says he hasn't claimed it. He's already redeemed us, but hasn't took the possession yet. He cannot until the time appointed. And then will come the resurrection and the earth will be renewed again. Then he will take his possession which he got when he redeemed us. He will do it at the appointed time. Now it's not just meandering out here in time somewhere and we just go on. There's really no set time. There's no set season. There is an appointed time. Now we do not know, but if we only knew to what extent that our God has so timed every one of these things, knowing that there would be an allocation of so many predestinated seed in every church age. He even timed their births. He even timed their births to where they would come in and the last one will come in. Who they are, we don't know, but we just go right on and preach and carry on. But he's got it timed exactly to where one day the last one will come in. Folks will go right on playing tapes. They'll go on having church and they'll go right on and the elect will be called out of here and the others, oh my, they'll come out missing. Right. Now you think for those who do not, are not synchronized into that, they'll never know. That's why it's so important to listen what God is doing. Don't just come and say, what's Brother Donnie got to say? What's Brother David got, these preachers got to say? Forget what Brother Donnie's got to say. You better have an ear what the Spirit has got to say. What's the Holy Ghost saying? Listen to him. Myself, I listen to what God says when I hear ministers preach. I want to know what God's thinking. I want to know what God's got on his heart, so I can be a part of it. Now notice this in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. He said, and whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Notice now, until the redemption or the taking out of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, of course, this, when this moves into that final cycle, this will lead to the resurrection and the rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He did not say flesh and bones, but flesh and blood. You notice Jesus, when he appeared, he said, touch me, handle me. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Notice Paul now, flesh and blood. Flesh will inherit the kingdom of God. Changed flesh. But not the combination of flesh and blood. Because your life will no longer be controlled by blood. Whoa. Woo! Hallelujah. Notice this. He says, flesh and blood, the combination of the two, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, this had never been uttered. What we're fixing to read here had never been uttered or said quite this way since the dawn of creation. Now, in the Old Testament, the book of Hosea, the book of Psalms, different prophecies of the Old Testament, there were things that where God said, I will bring them out of the grave, I will conquer the grave, the dead ones will arise, fresh things that God said. But the Old Testament did not portray a true picture of the resurrection, for much of the resurrection was hid in the types of the living word in the lives of the people. The resurrection was hid in the life of Jonah, but it looked like it was a backsliding preacher, when actually the mystery of the resurrection was hid in his life. The Lord Jesus, the Lord God of the Old Testament, never said, Jonah, you're a type of me. As you come out of the whale's belly, I'll come out of the grave. But God hid it in such a way, it looked like Jonah was totally out of the will of God and backslid. So the devil could look right at it and said, nah, 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 backslid preacher. Jesus looked at it and said, ah, ha, 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 me. That's me and Jonah. As Jonah come out of the whale's belly, I'll come out of the belly of hell. So the Old Testament certainly didn't give the clarity that the New does. But even with the New, now whenever Peter begins to write about it, John writes about it, different ones, but here Paul, for God's choice, was illuminated, and he calls this a mystery, mysterion. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, once it gets done, it's not a mystery. That's the kind of mystery preacher I like to listen to. I don't like to listen to a preacher that takes a mystery, and I'm more confused when it gets done than when I started. I like to hear a man that can take a mystery, and when he gets done, I understand what was a mystery. Paul said, I'm going to show you what was a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. Now, listen to this mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So what's mysterious about that? Now let's go on now. Behold, I show you a mystery. Mysterion. Something which is revealed only to a certain class. To the initiated. Now watch, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment. An atomos, an atom. Of course, it's a division of time so small that it cannot be divided. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now Paul chooses to pick the portion of the body that surpasses all others in quickness and in movement. Isn't it amazing that he runs a parallel, because he says we shall not all sleep, which is the eyes, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So some are going to be sleeping and some are going to be awake. Lord, I'm trying my best to be nice and behave, but after 30 minutes into this, I'm not responsible for my actions, nor my altitude. Now notice he says, in a moment, in the twinkling, nothing any faster in the body than this. Though notice he says, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, what's this? Paul is now showing us. Now, I don't want us to take and try to preach the resurrection, the rapture, the coming of the Lord backwards. A lot of the message folks want to preach the coming of the Lord and believe the coming of the Lord. They want to believe it from the quotes this way. But since Brother Branham wasn't the first one to preach the rapture, maybe we should go back to the first guy who mentioned it. Now you see, we get all scrupled up if we try to go over here and start with quotes and go backwards and make these scriptures line up with these quotes. But let's go back to the apostolic foundation of the Bible and see how did they believe the coming of the Lord, because they could not have believed it and preached it one way for thousands of years and went to sleep expecting that, being synchronized on the mind of God, and then they come down to the end time and it wasn't actually Jesus that's supposed to be looking for, it's actually Brother Branham, which means they won't get up. Glory. Now watch this. They are going to, something has now moved from the throne room. Now watch Paul, as God allows him to go in by revelation. Now this is not written in the Old Testament. It's not written actually in the four Gospels. This is a mystery. And Paul's actually the only one that could catch this. Peter was a good man, but he wasn't made to catch this. James was a good man, but he wasn't made to catch this. Mysteries come to the prophets. John was a good man, but God didn't even endow John with this mystery. This is kept for the messenger of the age. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. So Paul says this, that in a moment of the twinkling of eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, Paul is taking the parallel from Israel being warned and alarmed and called by the sound of the shofar, or by the silver trumpet of the Jubilee. And is likening this great resurrection to the gathering or the blowing of a trumpet, which is the gathering of the people. Now, notice this. Jesus says, we do believe what Jesus said, right? In Matthew 24:31, Jesus himself speaks and says, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. Now watch as it enters into this phase to where that he is no longer now lamb. When this happens, he is Lion King. He is now the king. Glory. And he's come looking for his queen. He is not lamb coming looking for people that have been sinners saved by grace. That's the wrong synchronization. That was before he stepped from behind the throne. So now he's not coming looking for people. Oh, Jesus. Oh, don't come. Oh, I'm a sinner. Oh, God. That's not the way the bride's going to meet him. The bride will correspond. Hallelujah. That something in her soul will be synchronized with his coming. Well, you say, I'll run, I'll hide. No, you won't. Not if you're bride. The people of the earth in the last days, they will run and they will hide. You know why? They're not synchronized to His coming. But the bride won't run and hide. The bride won't say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, get away. Not the bride. She'll say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, come here, Jesus. Oh, you say, how could I look at him being so holy and me so unholy? You won't think that. You'll be changed. That can never even enter into your new body, that you were unholy, unworthy. You've been changed. You've been changed from that. You no longer have the ability to even think that way. Now what? So this trump, it's like the sound of a commander in an army calling his subjects. What's the army gathering for? Two foes that they in a joint union with Christ will defeat. Notice in John 5:25, Jesus again, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming. And now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Now notice, Son of God is church age dispensation. Son of God. How's the bride? How did Lucifer, how did all them down through those ages? They heard the voice of the Son of God through the revealed word of their day. And they were sealed away under their mess of glory. How can they be reckoned in the resurrection with us in the last day? The voice of the Son of God. Don't you understand what got a hold of you when you was out there in the world drinking and running around? You didn't want nothing to do with God. You wasn't searching for God. It was God searching for you. But you heard the voice of the Son of God. But thank God you didn't stop there. After you was introduced to the voice of the Son of God, you realized the Son of God had revealed himself in this day as Son of Man. The church ages never heard him as Son of Man, but you have. Notice this again, Paul says in verse 53, 1 Corinthians 15, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. He did not say corruptible must put on incorruption. But this, not corruptible, but this corruptible. This corruptible. You see, God will not give me a new body and then give me a new body. If I'm alive when He comes, I will not get a body that's more suited to change. He will change this one. This corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal will put on immortality. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh my. Amen. Can you imagine? Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. This same body that we fought devils in, glory to God. This same body that them last living saints, they fought hell in. They went through all kinds of evil. And this very same body that got you down, this very same body that made you weary, this very same body that made you cry many a tear, one day this mortal will put on immortality. And oh, hallelujah! And this corruptible will put on incorruption. Not another Donnie Reagan, this one. Not only that, but the sinners, when they are raised in the second resurrection, will be judged in the exact same body they sinned in. Notice this question answers, what manner of body will the wicked have at the last resurrection? At the great white throne judgment. That sinner will rise in the resurrection to be judged in the body he has committed the sin in. He will have to stand the judgment and resurrection. Resurrection is not replacement. It's bringing up that which went down. When Jesus raised from the dead, he was the same body that went down. He raised in that same kind of a body. We rise in the same body that we go down in. It's a resurrection, not a replacement. Oh, glory. Now you imagine when the wicked rise to stand before the white throne. And they'll stand there 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old, 90 years old. Many of the folks of the Old Testament that lived to be hundreds of years old, they'll stand on the 700-year-old body, a 900-year-old body. Their body will prove where they're headed. Their body, when they raise in that old body with gray hair and wrinkled hands, it'll prove where they're headed, the white throne. Can't you see? When you get a new body at the rapture, it proves where you're headed. Glory to God, it proves. It proves the lion has roared. Your body is testifying where you're going. Notice this, he says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on, which means to go into, to envelop, to put on as a garment. As the soul is clothed with this body, then it will be endued or invested with a new body. And we closed out last Sunday with this quote. It's been reverberating in my soul every day this week. Please explain the mystery of the translation of the bride. Just to change, see, our bodies. Let's say our. You know what I mean when I say that? I don't mean to be sacrilegious. I don't mean to say ours. I don't mean to say this church. Strange how that denominational spirit has got around it now, though. Around the message and around message churches, you know. That spirit didn't come from Brother Branham, friends. No, that spirit did not come from Brother Branham. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. I mean to say every believer, Abraham was looking for a promised son. Now what a strange way to explain the rapture, the translation of the bride, and you go back to Abraham. Abraham, he was looking for a promised son. He said, is that right? And the church is looking for a promised son, the bride. The bride is looking for the promised son. Before the promised son could come to Sarah and Abraham, their bodies had to be changed. Amen. Amen. She was too old to have a baby. She had no milk veins in her breast. Her breast was dried up. Her womb wasn't fertile. She was sterile. She could not have the baby. Her heart was too old to stand labor. Now we're going to read in a minute according to what Paul said. We are going to meet Jesus in the air. Well, I'm going to have to be changed to do that or I get sick. I don't feel too comfortable flying in an airplane at 37,000 feet, much less than nothing around me. I'm just gone like that. I've got to be changed. My heart couldn't take it. Don't sit there and look at me. Y'all couldn't either. Oh, some of y'all might jump out of a plane and parachute and do this, other. Hey, parachute ain't nothing like where we're going. I'm talking about we're fixing to sail out of this place. Our heart couldn't take it. Our lungs couldn't take it. We'll be moving faster than a thought. Our lungs could not take the pressure to be able to like that. We're gone. Oh, my. You know how it is riding on an airplane. One of the things they tell you, if we were to lose cabin pressure in this plane, oxygen mask will drop down from the seat in front of you. Please take the mask and place it around you, pulling it behind it, and do it for yourself first before you assist or help anyone else beside you. There ain't no oxygen mask in the rapture. You don't need them. And your heart won't palpitate because you ain't got no heart. Don't worry about the blood pressure because you ain't got no blood. Glory! So we got to be changed. We couldn't take such a thing. Glory. We cannot receive the promised Son that's promised us today in these bodies that we live in. These bodies are sin. And the church said, a brother asked me a question this week from South Africa. Him and another brother was sharing, you know, about the things of the Word, just talking about the Word, you know, how saints are, how they love to talk in fellowship about the Word. And they was going over and they found the quote where Brother Branham was talking about these bodies and how they belong to the devil. And they couldn't understand how could the body belong to the devil. And the Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. So I prayed and prayed as I always do when folks send me questions. And I prayed and prayed a day and prayed another day. And the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus come to me in his inspiration. And I began to write it down. I said, my brother, Adam forfeited his rights in the beginning to the earth. So all the gold, the silver, the timber, everything on the earth originally belonged to Adam. But when Adam forfeited his rights, then Satan took it over. So the gold, the silver, the metal, and the timber, lumber, and all that actually belonged to the devil. Yet in the days of Solomon, Solomon took gold out of the earth, or had people to do it, silver out of the earth, timber from the cedars of Lebanon, and here, all of the material which did not come from heaven, but the material actually come from the earth, which the devil had a claim over. Glory. But yet he took that gold and silver and dyes and reds and blues and all this and that and the other and put it together and built a house of God. So how was God able to get in and live in a building which was made out of substance that actually belonged to the devil? Because God's presence sanctified the gold and, oh, hallelujah, God's presence sanctified the gold and the silver and the wood. And I said, that's the same way it is with our bodies. Our bodies belong to him and he's got a claim on them. But the Holy Ghost comes in our body and said, I sanctify this place. I hallow this place. It is my tabernacle. I about had a spell when the Lord gave me that answer. Thank you, Brother George, for asking that question, because it'll be a blessing to a lot of folks, my brother. Oh, my. Inevitably, if we live long enough, he'll put sickness on us and he'll try to take us by death's door, and God will allow him to do it. Why? Because he still has a claim on this and he knows it. But Jesus is fixing to break that claim in 1 Corinthians 15. He's already broken in your soul. But not the body. Now watch, he says these bodies are sin. The first conscience controls this body. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear, and it's got us all scrupled up. We reason and everything else. But that new body, listen where the new body comes from. That comes from this born again. Do you understand? Jesus is not bringing your body. You'll bring it. He's bringing your theophany, but not your body. That part of the work will be left up to you. Lord Jesus. But that new body that comes from the born again. So my new body, if I'm alive, don't come from heaven. My new body does not come from the sixth dimension. It comes from my new birth. Can't you see why Satan does not want the folks on the message to have a new birth, a birth of the Word of God? He won't. Oh, I believe Brother Branham's a prophet. I go to Happy Valley. I believe Brother Donnie's a good man. That's not it. You ain't got nothing to produce a new body from unless you got a new birth. Lord have mercy. No wonder Paul said, I'm showing you a mystery that for those of you that are alive, when you actually get born again, your new body will come from that new birth. Yeah. But that new body that comes from this born again, not the first conscience, it'll pass away. It's that inside something that lives. Everybody understand it. Say amen.
Amen.
Congregation replies.
Amen.
It's not this outside. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Well, I thought that was flesh. Ain't that what you are? That's five contacts of your outside, but that's not what it is. It don't come from that. You say, what we've done, friends? We have looked at the new body, and we place so much emphasis on something external from what we are. This is why the message folks are constantly, they're looking for a new tape, or they're looking for a new preacher, or they're looking for this man, or this website, or that website. Something external from what they are. Something to come in them, something to become, you know, a part of it, because they're lacking a new birth. Oh my, Lord Jesus, help us, Father. But the inside part of you, down in here inside, this is the person that cannot die. And that's the person that the new life starts from. From this new birth. And it builds, Lord Jesus. Really, I ought to be wearing a sign under construction. Brothers, we need to put signs up out here. Every service, construction site. Drive with caution. You come here and you want a perfect people. You don't see a perfect building on a construction site. You see two befores laying over here and metal laying over there and shards of this and that and the other. That's the way the church is, friend. We are a construction site with a supernatural God building another person inside each one of his elect. Don't you understand why for the last several years God has been anointing his ministry, preaching on cleaning up and straightening up and get rid of this? Don't you understand? The construction is almost over. Why should that stumble you? Every time I go to church, preachers are preaching on the cleanup. That's what you do when you're almost done building. You, those of you that have built or had a house built or whatever more, that's one of the last things that you do. You clean it up, and then you re-clean it and re-clean it. Come on! You start with an old rough vacuum cleaner, and then you get a cleaner one and a cleaner one and a cleaner mop and a cleaner towel. Don't you see? That's what the Word is doing. It ought to let us know the Lamb is fixing to change to the Lion. Why? The construction site is reaching the cleanup stage. Now notice what's going on inside of you every day, every day. That's the person the new life starts from. From this new birth. It don't start from quotes, it don't start from scriptures. It don't start from your pastor, your mother, your mama. It don't start from the prophet. Your new body starts from you. Your birth. This is why every individual must have one. You can't go in on mine. Mine cannot produce your body and yours and yours. You must have your own birth to produce your own body. So from this new birth, it builds another person in the image of this person that you are around that life. Glory. So it is working on me. It's building a new person, not from the outside in. This is why, don't misunderstand me now. This is why I do not get on the, I don't have to get on the internet and search every message church that's got a website to see if I can find where we are. I can go into the inner sanctum of who I am and find out where we are. Woo! Glory! I can hear my Father speaking. I can hear what He's got on His heart. Now notice, so potentially, it's in here. What is it? The word promise before the foundation of the world. And around there, it only reflects the negative. That will reflect the positive, the word. And the same thing, or the translation of the bride, will be the same thing. Not in Isaiah. Your brother Bram has room to insert the tenth. He has room to insert. Now, I'm going to get up first and I'm going to have a personal resurrection. Then I'm going to go preach here and there and I'm going to go kill a brown bird. I know many of you don't even understand these things. I relate to it. Now I try my best to keep all this trash away from you. But there's folks in this message who do not believe Jesus could come tonight. They believe Brother Branham must come. And Brother Branham's got to set up a tent here and there, and Brother Branham's got to go on a hunting trip, and Brother Branham's got to fly in an airplane, and they've still got the old airplane on by. All this stuff, that's, you know what it is? It's creeds. You know what a creed is? It is an opinion or a statement of faith, but it is something that the Word does not back up. As I said, Brother Branham was not the first one to preach the rapture, so we've got to go back to the pattern, friends. Now they try to take the tent vision and say, well, whenever the people walk through that little room there, they said, oh my, I went in with wheelchair and I come out, and I went in with crutches and I come out. Somebody standing on the outside said, what happened? I don't know. I don't know what happened. All right. So they try to make that the body change. The warrior has to go to the tent meeting. Well, you're missing some parts, I'm afraid. Brother Branham wasn't even in that meeting. Brother Branham was above it up here. And pray tell me, how's the folks from Namibia, which ain't never been on an airplane in their life, how are they going to get here? How the folks from Brazil and Peru and the third world countries that ain't got a nickel to their name, how are they going to charter an airplane? They don't need to be in an airplane. They need to be in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you see why that goes over in this message? It's carryover from Pentecost. What did Pentecost represent? The airplane age. So an airplane doctrine is very fitting for Glenn at Laodicea sin carryovers. Woo! Oh, Jesus, that was good. Oh, man, that was good. Hey, friends, we're not taking no airplane flight. We're going out here, but they said, I'm going to pass the moon so fast, I'll never even see it. I'm going to go past it. But why didn't Brother Man leave out the airplane? Brother Man has every opportunity to tell us now, children, I'm going to come back and I'm going to raise from the dead. I'm going to have a personal resurrection. And then whenever I do, I'm going to fly around the world because I never did kill that brown bear. And I got to do this. I've got to do that. 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 And then all these preachers that's been faithful, which is what some of the special ones out west preach, they've got a list of the names of all the preachers that have preached return ministry. And they're the ones that's going to ride on the airplane with Brother Man. Which, of course, my name, nor yours, nor yours, nor yours, nor yours, is on the list. But as long as my name's on that big list up there. Woo! Glory! The Lamb did walk before the throne of God and get the list of the airplane names. But the Lamb went before the throne of God and got that book of life. The bride's identity. Oh, hallelujah to God! Notice, the translation of the bride will be the same thing. Listen to this. The word that's in you. The body will materialize around that word. May not been smart, not been very educated. I decided on Sunday evening after I preached last Sunday morning. And on Monday I wanted to look up just to make sure I understood what materialize meant. Sure enough, I didn't. Materialize means to give material form or characteristics to. represent in material form. Now, do you understand? This person that's now being formed inside of you is not represented yet in material form. It's in spiritual form. Notice the meanings of this word. Tremendous. Represent in material form to appear in bodily form. To become fat. Glory! To become fat. Right now it's faith. I believe it. You believe it. You believe it, Sarah. But brother, materialization makes it fact. One day that body will materialize, become fat around that word. To become fat. Develop into something real or tangible.
Yes, sir.
To take on or appear in bodily form. Oh, glory to God. You done read it. You done ahead of me, ain't you? To appear suddenly. Oh, Lord Jesus. To appear suddenly or unexpectedly. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. In atomos. This body will materialize. It will appear unexpectedly. And suddenly. Lord Jesus. So the new body will materialize around the new birth. So it's building an image right now of a person as we're hearing the word. It's shaping and taking and molding. But that person's not fat yet. It's not material yet. But when the Lamb leaves the mercy seat and becomes a Lion King, and he goes to call him for his queen, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's going to activate something in all those new births on the earth. Oh, glory. Like God dividing an atom in the beginning. My Lord have mercy. When God divided an atom in the beginning and said, let there be light. Can you imagine? It started exploding, started going 186,000 miles a second. And it's still going. It's still going. Still going. Still going. That great creator still has the same power tonight. When he descends from heaven with a shout. And sets in motion that very cycle of your new body from your new birth. It will move from faith. To fact. Lord have mercy. It won't no longer say, glory to God, I believe. Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe I've got it. I believe I'm made. I believe I'm part of it. Then you'll stand there and say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. It's no longer what I believe. It's what I am. I have become fat. Note here, another meaning of this word materialize, to assume material or effective form, to take physical form or shape, to appear, especially suddenly. Now this is not a Bible dictionary, this is online, you can find it as well as I did. I asked Carol the other day and I read this, I said, isn't it amazing that Brother Branham would choose this one word to define the bride's chains and call it materialize. Which is not even really a word that you would think that he as a Kentuckian as myself would even be familiar with because he didn't use it very many times at all. But I'll tell you another time that he did use it. When he talked about those angels appearing. And that seventh one appeared. And his wings were sticking back and his chest was all stuck out. As they materialized. Me counting from the left to the right, it would have been the seventh angel. The one that was the most noted to me. The thing I've wondered about all my life. And he flew right straight to me. Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't you see, friend? When the lion leaves, oh Lord, when he leaves, what will happen upon the earth? This will be so synchronized by the power of God that we cannot do this. We can never produce this. Nobody can. But it'll come from within you. And it's not like you're going to get this gigantic mega dose of something that you don't have on the day of the rapture. It'll only be really the appointment time. Because by that time, you will be finished in your soul. It's not like some great mega dose. Don't you understand? Even the term that people use, rapturing faith, around the message. Don't you understand why they're constantly looking for rapturing faith to be something external of themselves? That's why they think, oh, the bride's got to do this and Brother Branham's got to come back. Something's going to happen. You know, they even believe that Brother Branham will raise from the dead and Brother Branham will go to Los Angeles and then he'll cast Los Angeles into the sea. I thought the coming of the Lord was about the Lord. Maybe I missed something somewhere. Don't you see? Constantly exterior. Oh my, the secret. Oh my, shh. That this is only to the real chosen ones. It's real buddies with buddy so-and-so, buddy so-and-so, buddy so-and-so. Shh. All the rest of these church people don't know. But I'm going to tell you what it is. What is it, brother? Well, it's a mystery. I can't tell you. Nonsense. Trash. Lies of the devil. We ain't just talking about us going into a resurrection rapture. We're talking about Paul. We're talking about Peter. We're talking about Luther. We're talking about Arrhenius. To appear especially suddenly. To take effective shape. Come into existence. Lord Jesus. Notice, and they ask him, you know, to explain the translation of the bride and where will it go. On in question and answer, paragraph 363. How will it take place and where is the bride goes? It goes to glory. Heaven. Not Jeff. Not Tucson. Not Happy Valley. Heaven. I'm going to where my headquarters is. You go wherever yours is, okay? Brother Ben said, Rome ain't my headquarters. I ain't going to Rome. When I die, I'm going to heaven. Amen. If your headquarters is Happy Valley, you can have it, pal. If Jeffersonville is your headquarters, Vancouver's your headquarters, go right ahead. I want my headquarters in heaven. And when my head tells me it's time to get my quarters up there, I'm going to be moving. Glory! Hallelujah! When the head thinks it, my body will respond. And my living quarters will be changed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It goes to glory, heaven, for the wedding supper. Just in type like Isaac and Rebecca. When Rebecca went to meet Isaac. Now you're talking about amazing. Because Brother Branham gives this parallel and he merges two types. Now whenever they ask him about the translation of the bride, he said, well, Abraham and Sarah was looking for a promised son. Which was the birth of Isaac. Now he ends it up with the marriage of Isaac. Don't you see they're both you? They both point to you. Abraham and Sarah typed you by receiving a change of their body. Rebecca typed you by getting Isaac. So here he merges both of these types together. Oh my! Remember, oh glory to God, hallelujah. In type like Isaac and Rebecca. We started out not with Isaac and Rebecca, but Abraham and Sarah. When Rebecca went to meet Isaac. So you think that matters? Who you go to meet? Now, Rebecca was a very peculiar girl. She was able to get behind this man, follow this man all the way back. And she didn't fall in love with him or want to marry him. By the time she got back over there, she didn't say, you know what, honey, I ain't even interested in that, Isaac. I want to marry you, Eliezer. You're the man of the hour. I mean, you are the man. I want to marry you. Then I don't understand why folks claim to be bride and want to marry Brother Ram instead of marrying Jesus. There's something wrong somewhere. They won't get mad at you if you tell them that Jesus was a man. But if you tell them Brother Ram was, they'll blow a top. I'm telling you what, they just get all bent out of shape. You realize it's a deity spirit. It's the devil. Well, y'all quit shouting and you pounding on me now. Notice now, remember. Oh, my. Remember, Eliezer. Representing now the message. Oh, my goodness. The message that went forth from Abraham, Eliezer went forth to find a bride for Isaac. You see, if that would have only been Brother Branham, it would have been against the word for me or any other preacher to preach. But since it also has a dual meaning in that it does not just represent Brother Branham, it represents the message. So Eliezer is still doing the call. Every time you come to this church or visit another church or whatever more, and they're preaching the message of the hour in time, in synchronized, don't you know what it is? Eliezer's making the call. Glory. Amen. And remember, Isaac had left the tent. Now, folks say I don't believe in a tent and a resurrection. I do. I just believe for it to be in the right place. Isaac had left the tent and was standing out in the field meditating. He's 40 years old now, remember. He wasn't no teenager. Well, if he was that old, I mean, I don't mean disrespectful, brothers, but you hadn't been married. I wonder what you'd be meditating about. I ain't got no wife. I ain't got no offspring. Daddy's going to give me everything. My father Abraham is getting older and older. And oh my, he's got to go by the way of the grave. And here it'll come to me and I won't have an heir. And meditating. But now he's left the tent. He's left the tent. Leaving the tent shows a change. A change. So he's out in the field, in the air, where it's expanded to redeem us. Oh, glory to God. The charge, the command has already been released. Hallelujah. And Eliezer, the message is on the earth gathering, hallelujah to God, gathering that bride together. Notice in the field, meditating in the late afternoon. Might have been carrying a book around, you know, just a book of names. A little book in his hand, you know. You see, when John saw him come down there and take that book out of the right hand of him and sit on the throne, it was not all the names that would be in the book of life, because that would be volumes. It was a little book. Glory! Fear not, little flock. So the little flock's in the little book. Amen. So here was Isaac walking. I'm out meditating, reading names, names, names. When he saw Rebecca coming. And she had never saw him. And he had never saw her. But it was love. At first sight. She fell in love with him. And he was her. And she was even veiled. Amen. Oh my. And look, when she seen him, her heart was so full of joy. She didn't know who she was going to marry, but by faith. Amen. And remember, Jesus will leave the kingdom and will not meet him in glory. We'll meet him in the air between the heavens and the earth, where it's expanded to redeem us. And he met Rebecca in the middle between her home and his home, and took her into his home and married her, and fell heir to everything his father had. Oh, perfect. Just perfect. Don't you see? Jesus cannot be heir to everything the Father has as long as you're here. His inheritance depends on you. Let me read the scripture and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible hath put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You mean to tell me that scripture was not fulfilled when Jesus raised from the dead? That scripture was not left for the masculine form of the Godhead. Lord, children, that was left for the bride. Can you see it? He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He never quoted this scripture to John on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I'm he that was dead and I'm alive forevermore. But he never quoted this, because this didn't pertain to that coming. What's the shout doing? Yeah. It's the Lion King. Yeah. And he's calling for his army. Yeah. An army for what, Brother Donnie? They're going to conquer death. And they're going to conquer the grave. Yeah. Ain't got to worry about hell, because ain't none of his there. He already took care of that. But notice, death! Their theophany's there, those that have died. Therefore, if you have died and entered into the theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth. You bring the theophany to the earth to meet the redeemed body. And if you are here, you take the body to meet the theophany. So death has still got a claim on millions of saints' bodies. Can't you see why the scripture could not be fulfilled? Until they come tearing out of the ground. Lord Jesus. And when this mortal, not him. No wonder Brother Ramon said, we are his victory. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is glory! Hallelujah! Where will death be swallowed? In the consummation of the saints' new bodies. Don't you see why it begins in the soul? It eradicates spiritual death in the soul first. You're on your way out. Glory to God, you're on your way out. Spiritual death has no dominion over you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you cannot die. And your body's heading up that same way. Oh my. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Death is swallowed up. And look at the meaning of this word. To drink down. To swallow down. To absorb. To overwhelm. To drown. Then to destroy or remove. Lord have mercy. Let's stand. Lord God. Can you imagine, friends? Brother Alan McKinney, Brother Homer Arnold, your mothers, your fathers, our loved ones, when they appear and our bodies are changed, we cried for them. We begged God to heal them. We begged God to deliver them. Some have died of cancer with terrible diseases. They breathed their last breaths and they were gone. And Satan had his last punch at them. But one day, Brother Jim, Brother Cecil will stand out there, a young man. And he'll swallow down death. And you living ones, it'll happen to you while you're alive. The Spirit of God's soul from your soul will have such charge of your being that death that is now working in your mortal body, death will be totally annihilated. And the Spirit of God will change you in atomos, in the twinkling of an eye. Can't you see why the rapture message had to be an I message? They preached it down through the church ages. They couldn't understand it. They tried. They tried to figure it out, but they just couldn't get it right. But God called a prophet right up in here. Glory in the twinkling of an eye. So unless you're part of the eye move, you won't be twinkled, will you? You see, twinkling is matching for stars and eyes. So if you came from the stars, then you come to the dust, then while you were here in dust, you caught the twinkle of the eye. You go back to where the stars twinkle forevermore. Remember Brother Ram said it in harvest time? God told Abraham, count the dust if you can. Then count the stars. He said, from stars to dust, that's the seed of Abraham, and that's the way we go back. The rapture, claiming his rights. Oh, friends, the word may get on our flesh, and it may make us mad sometimes. It does me, too. Sometimes the word just digs around me. I get so aggravated. Brother Donnie. What, you think I'm some kind of angel or something that I just love to be whooped on and beat on? I mean, I may look like an idiot, but I'm not one. I'm like you. Sometimes the word burns me up, scours me out just like it does you. But in my soul, I say, Lord, if that's what I need, give me more, Lord. My flesh don't like it. Oh, no. But one day, I'm going to do my flesh the greatest honor that any flesh could ever have. For I am going to lead it to a change. If I'm alive, I am going to lead this body into final glorification. And from my new birth, just as you saw me swallow that Gatorade, from my new birth will swallow the death that's working in my mortal body. The gray hairs you see, you know, all the age and all that sort of thing that we see about one another, from my new birth, it will. It'll swallow my old age. Glory to God. And it'll just vanish. Where'd it go? Man, he was 60 years old. Now he's 18. What in the world? I drank from the real fountain of life. Yes. Amen. Glory. God bless you, saints. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. And the word here that's used, that Paul uses, the power and dominion of death has been entirely destroyed and brought to an end. Death is swallowed up in victory. Now, probably still yet, if you'd open me up, you'd be able to find this Gatorade, and it's still Gatorade form. But give me an hour or so. And that Gatorade will change, no matter how, if it's red, pink, purple, green, whatever color it is. And my body will start absorbing that Gatorade. Right? And my body will change the color and go through my liver and this and that and the other. And before long, it totally disappears as Gatorade. Lord Jesus, can't you see what a victory this is? It's not like that we're going to be over here and God, death, get away from me. You get over here and you get away. It goes in, Lord, Lord have mercy, God. And it no longer does. You can't find it. There's no gray hairs. There's no false teeth. There's no contacts. There's no glasses. It's gone. What happened to death? Life swallowed it up. Oh. Amen. Oh, glory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Glory! Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Come on, saints, let's rejoice. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today. I can say it in faith, but I can't say it in fact yet. All right. But I think I'll go ahead and say it ahead of time. Yeah. One day we'll be able to say, death is mine. Death is mine. Death. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, I told Satan, get thee behind. Hallelujah! I possess it! Glory to God! You say you ain't got no message for that oil, but I do. Brother Branham said even death belongs to me. He said, what are we going to do with death? All it can do, he said, is carry me across. It don't control me, I control it. It does not possess me, and one day I will swallow it up.
Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine.
Thank you, Jesus. Down from his glory. And how is this all possible? Because our loving Father was so determined to display his attributes. Brother Bram tells us in Christ the Mystery that he could have kept Adam and Eve. He could have kept them that way. But he said his attributes would have never been expressed in the fullness. He said he was a Savior. He said, you say, how do you know he was? He said, because I've had the experience. Wow. So you know God is a Savior because you've had the experience. You're really taking a lot on yourself, ain't you? You're identifying that you're the proof of how big God is? You're telling me that God is a healer because you've had the experience, so you're identifying yourself as the Creator himself. Hallelujah. But he wanted his attributes to be expressed in the fullness. Not only that, but his love was so great and so bountiful, it would spill over from the Lamb's Book of Life over in even to the Book of Life. And while he was down here in the pawn shop getting those who he foreknew before the foundation of the world, if there was any more in there that wanted to come out, he'd say, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That him is the thirst, come and take of the waters of life freely. And some of them got up and followed him out too. Glory! Don't you love him, children? Let's sing it together before we go. Down from his glory, ever living story. Oh, let's love him now. My God and Savior came, and Jesus was his human name. Born in a man of sorrow, Lord God. Lord, let's love him now. Hallelujah. Why don't you raise your hands and just make love to him? Oh, God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. May God open your heart to help you see who you are. The Song of Solomon, Brother Bam says, one of the greatest types of the Old Testament. When Solomon fell in love with that girl, she was called Shulamite, which is the feminine form of Solomon. Isn't any wonder Brother Branham would call you Miss Jesus Christ? You could not be called that if you're just engaged. May the message, folks, that's as far as they went. Betrothal. My wife was not Carol Reagan as long as we were engaged. She became Carol Reagan once we were married. The Bible says in Revelation, let us be glad and make merry, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and His wife has made herself ready, not bride. You can be bride and fall from your spousal. That's what Paul preached in 2 Corinthians there. Amen. We want to get married to the King. God bless you. Go in the fear of God. See you in the morning. Oh, how I love Him. How I love Him.